to continue now with the Gemara and the discussion as to what exactly constitutes poschim l'schus. That is to say, we begin on the side of merit. For the sake of the nidon. The nidon is the defendant. It's good to get familiar with some of the basic terms, okay? Translate them now, please. You can even write it, you can write in Hebrew, you can transliterate, doesn't matter. You should get familiar with some terms here. Okay? So, Rav Yehuda said that we say to them, Miyaymar Kidikamritu, which implies that we're not really convinced that it's what you're saying is true. It's a funny kind of an expression. It's not really accusing them of being liars directly, it's sort of an implication. Maybe you're not telling the truth. Funny kind of a statement. What is the point of it? How will this be beneficial to the nidon, the defendant? Yes, through your device to thwart the Edom in their objective. That is to say, by creating an impression that we're onto you, perhaps, it may not succeed, obviously. They may not be affected by it. People who are honest and telling the truth are not going to be affected by it, but maybe even they will be. Maybe they'll get scared. Because these things can happen. Sometimes you're saying the truth, but you can have a shrewd lawyer to break you down, and you may not want to go to court altogether. Who knows? Well, anything could happen. Once you start testifying, once they start to cross-examine you, and you can get confused, and you can blurt out something that's where you can get in trouble, even though you didn't do anything wrong. All these things can happen. But the primary objective is intended for the person who is involved in a conspiracy. That's the primary target. And by creating a certain impression that we're not so impressed with what you're saying, so that might have the effect of deterring someone who's basically coming for a conspiracy. That's very nice. So that's a gesture in favor of defense. I object to that. And what emerges is an interesting debate, so to speak, up and back. Marula, Ula said, V'hachas minim lahu. You're muzzling them. You're going to muzzle them. Now that's all he says. And we're supposed to be able to figure out what the concept, what's the substance of your argument. Okay, is that the whole statement? But what's the expressive? So I am muzzling, I'm not muzzling them. What are you talking about? Therefore what? But what the issue is this considered to be poschim l'schus? The Mishnah said poschim l'schus. So the Mishnah paskin that I have to really begin, I have to initiate proceedings with something in favor of the nidon. So this sounds pretty good. So what's the problem? What does he mean when he says that? He doesn't really add that much. Rashi just explains. Chosmin anu espiyam. We're closing their mouths. We're muzzling them, so to speak. Kisha anu makishin osan. When we contradict them. V'yachzu behen betoch kidei dibur. And they will retract within kidei dibur. Oftentimes you recognize that there's a machlokas between two positions. Because whatever the idea behind chasminin, behind the accusation of muzzling, whatever the idea is, which we don't really know what the idea behind it is, all we know is he's just expressing that point. But you have to assume that Rabbi Yehuda is also cognizant of that issue. And he's thought about that too. You shouldn't construe the machlokas as though Rabbi Yehuda came up with an idea, but he was completely unaware of the implications of chasminin lahu, muzzling. And then Ula comes along and says, well, very nice, but you keep, well, this is muzzling. And then Rabbi Yehuda sort of said, oh, I didn't think about that. That can't be the case. And you take a look at the next line. It's obvious that Rabbi Yehuda is aware of the problem of muzzling, but he says, it's not a problem. No problem. So well, you are muzzling them. What's your problem with that? So it's a machlokas as to whether the phenomenon of muzzling is acceptable. So he says, but Rabbi Yehuda is not going to defend his position. Milo Tanya, he seems to have a proof as to his point. He's thought about this. Well, have we not learned? Rabbi Shimon ben Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliezer says, Masin es eidim mi makam le makam. Kedei shetitar of daitan. V'yachzru behen. What does that mean? There's a machlokus, but literally, they move. Vayisa is to travel, to journey. But he'd been so ha'aron, and it was when the ark would move forward, travel. So here it's masin, to move them from place to place, in order that they should become confused and what's a better term? Distressed. Yeah, they become confused, distressed, to sort of wear them down.
Anxiety.
Anxiety, all these things are correct. Tir fadas means when a person becomes bewildered. A person becomes bewildered and overcome by a certain type of an anxiety or even a panic, and everybody recognizes that state. And you think you can't think clearly anymore. I don't know to that extent. We're not talking here over here about going into some kind of panic, but they'll get worn down. And they'll become afraid, and they'll retract. Comes too scary for them. Now, what's the idea of moving them from place to place? What are you talking about? What does that mean? You put them in a car and you take them for a ride and blindfolded. What's going on over here? Milotanya masin hayu based in esa edim kodam kabalos edus mimakom mamakom. Have we not learned that Beis Din would move the Edom before the Kabbalas Edus? This would mean at the very beginning of the process, when Edom first come and tell the Beis Din what they're coming for. So then before Beis Din would even interrogate them and take the Edus, they would move them from place to place and from room to room. Kishabayin Lahoyed, when they come to testify, Omer Laham, we say to them, Lo Nekabal Kan, Elakan. We won't accept it over here, but here. V'chein misham l'makam acher. Interesting. It sounds like you're playing a mind game with them. What does that have the effect of doing? I mean, over here, it seems to me, psychologically, is that this is, for most people, it's a scary situation. They've never been in this situation before. So what you try and do is to adjust to the situation. So even a situation like a court, in a courtroom, you can start to adjust to it, and once you adjust to it, you can calm down. That's the idea. The idea is that you can calm down. And once you calm down, you're not so nervous anymore. But what they're trying to do is to prevent them from calming down, to feeling complacent. Because now you're being moved. Why am I being moved? And where's the new place? And every time you try and relax and feel comfortable, they move you again. So this is basically to, so to speak, keep them off guard. Now, what is up with this idea? Rabbi Yehuda comes to the conclusion that there's no problem of saying miyaymar. There's somehow some kind of a connection between that and miyaymar. What he seems to be saying is that what's the objective? What do you tell me? Of all this, the purpose of all this is that Beis Din's objective is to get them to retract, kadesh yitarek daitan, that they should become confused and frightened, and they'll retract. So therefore, what's your problem? No one says for chasminin. No one raises the objection that this is muzzling. So the same thing over here. If Beis Din is permitted to do things which have the effect of causing the Edom to retract, as we do see by Masin, that we move them, so then what's wrong with making that statement which carries the implication that we're not convinced you're telling the truth? That's what it says, Midami. Are they similar? Hasam Mamela Kamitchu. Hacha Kadachinulu Fiyadayim. Yeah, in mind that even Rav Yehuda is being careful. He's going further than Ula, but he's not openly saying you're lying. Miyaymar Kadakamitu is carefully chosen. It doesn't mean you can say whatever you want to say. It's about as far as you can go, but that he holds is acceptable. Yeah. For result, we're not being doka, we're not pushing them aside. In the case of moving them from place to place. Here, Ananda Chinalu, we're pushing them aside. And Rashi says, Uksiv Ubiyar Tahara. And the Pasuk says, what does it mean, Ubiyar Tahara? You should eradicate the evil. So now we understand what the problem is. That there is a problem, which is expressed in these words, that you're not allowed to push the Edom, refute the Edom. And that's because you're violating the obligation of Ubiyar Tahara. This is something which really has to be explained and understood. What's going on over here? And this answer, I mean, when you hear the answer that are there, they're retracting of their own, the Mela, here we're pushing them. What's the difference? What's the difference in both cases? That's the result. At this point in time, I see Rabbi Yehuda's argument seems to be strong. What difference does it make? Are you playing a game? If you play a game, and you kind of do it indirectly, that's a... But one can ask. If there's a problem that Bezdin cannot do these kinds of things, can't come out strongly against the Edom, even though you want to save the person, but that's not the only objective, apparently, as everybody's been saying. There is an objective of the Uviyar Tahara. Bezdin is not convening simply to whitewash the guy. There's got to be a real trial, because there's another objective of eliminating evil. So, what's the argument over here? What's the machlokas? He's explaining Ulo's objection to Rabbi Yehuda and saying that don't compare Masiyan to this. Masiyan, it's indirect. It's Mamela. But we ourselves are not pushing them aside. But here, Ananda Chinulahu, we'd be pushing them aside. And then you'll ask, what's right? And you'll ask, so what's wrong if we're pushing them aside? So Rashi says, we'll be our Torah. We can't. We have an obligation to uproot the evil. Meaning to say that that's for reference to the defendant. That if the defendant is wicked, if he's in Russia, we have to destroy him. We'll be our Torah. So, therefore, because we have the obligation of we'll be our Torah, we can't make a frontal assault on the Edom, because that would be a violation of our responsibility to uproot evil from our midst. That's what Rashi's saying. Is that it's not that clear cut. It's true that Ula has a good argument. We have an obligation of Uviyar Tahara. But it's kind of ambivalent, because does Uviyar Tahara preclude Bezdin's being involved in trying to achieve Tirav Das, that state of mind, that confusion of the mind of the witnesses so that they should retract? In a certain sense, you can make a very strong case for Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you drawing a line? What are you telling me? You're telling me we'll be Artara. Okay, we're going to engage in the Artara. If we find the guy guilty, if the Bezdin remain there, if the Edom remain with their story. But the real question, and if I, you know, if there was a next, you know, level, a next line of give and take, if we're going to proceed with the position of Rabbi Yehuda and say, 1 second, are you saying that the chiyuv of Uviyar Torah precludes the objective of Tirav Das? Is that contradictory to it? It's not, because we all agree on Masiyan. Ula agrees on Masiyan too, that we move them from place to place. So, what's the point of that? So, we are permitted to engage in to pursue the objective of Tirav Das. So, now what's your problem? And that's not a contradiction to Viarta, so I'm just doing it in a different way. Well, what's your problem? At this level, superficially, it would seem that there are views. Again, in terms of common sense, makes more common sense. That's how I would. So what's the machlokes? It's kind of challenging. For starters, it seems to me that the position of Rabbi Yehuda makes sense. Because once you have Masiyan, and we understand what Masiyan is, and we all agree on that, that we're permitted to engage in this maneuver, it's a maneuver, to move them from place to place, to cause them to be confused, and to be confounded, and to retract. So now we've said that that's fair game, that it's within the parameters of Bezdin, within their obligations, they are permitted to pursue the objective of Tirav. We've established that. So now what's it seems to me, isn't that significant if we do it this way, we do it that way, it's the same thing. We've already said that this is a legitimate procedure. So the burden, in my opinion, is, it's always more complicated when you have a position which says, okay, I accept it over there, but not over here. I mean, that's a little bit ambivalent, so he has to draw the line, and what exactly does he mean by that? So we're doing it with our hands, we're pushing him, so what? What's the difference? The objective is the same, and that objective is kosher, as we've already established. Yeah, it seems to me that the machlokas between the two positions, and again, you'll see it's a valid machlokas, two legitimate positions. It seems like Rabbi Yehuda is, as I've said, that as far as he's concerned, the issue in terms of the obligation of Uviarta. It's not compromised. You're not compromising Uviarta, because he says, you see from Asiyan that Bezin is permitted to pursue the objective of Tiras. If that is the case, it's the ends, so to speak. I guess that justifies the means, if you want to say. Anything which is necessary, any maneuver that Bezin undertakes, should be measured purely in terms of the objective. That's what makes it kosher or treif. If there's a different objective, so then you have a problem. But all we've established already from Asiyan that it is within the confines of Bezin, and it does not violate their obligation of Uviarta to pursue a course which would result in Tiruf Das, that state of confusion that is perfectly legitimate to seek that objective. If that's the case, so then what difference does it make if Bezin pursues that by Masiyan? You agree that's okay. So now if I make this kind of a casual comment, Miyamar, and I sort of like imply that I don't accept them, that's also what's wrong with it. What's the purpose of that? The purpose is Tiruf. So Tiruf is okay. Tiruf becomes the measuring rod, the objective of Tiruf. In other words, in order to determine a procedure, whether it's permissible, whether it's not permissible, we have to look at the objective of that, and that's how Bezin is governed, so to speak, and we've already established that the objective of Tiruf is one which is legitimate for Bezin to pursue. Okay, comes along and says, no, it's not that simple. The method, the manner in which it is pursued is very, very significant. Because, if you look, as you pointed out, in the other case, Bezin is not really directly opposing, directly confronting them. We'll explain that in a second, why that's a problem. All Bezin is doing is operating within the existing procedures. For example, Bezin has a right to do Drisha V'Chakira. And Drisha V'Chakira can be, is supposed to be, exceedingly, exceedingly tough. And that's legitimate. That's not a violation of Uviarta. That's simply to make sure that the this is as accurate as possible. So in the course of doing that, Bezin can create obstacles. It's not that they're opposing the Edom. By moving them from place to place, there's no opposition to the Edom. We're just creating, we're extending the, every Bezin has certain, as we've discussed, there's certain formalities over there which have a tendency to make people afraid. That's the way it's, look, you see that's pursued. I'll tell you, even on a simple level. Person gives Edus, he has to give Edus in court. Let's say a lot of people are nervous to go to court. They won't go to court because they're too nervous. It's too intimidating. So why don't we send a representative to the house and depose them? As in American law, you might have that. Where now the person's in his home, he's feeling comfortable, he can relax. We're not going to do that. Can't do that. You've got to come to Bezin. Included in that idea is the fact that in Bezin, it's not relaxed. It's not informal. It's scary. That's good. We want the people to be afraid, because that'll help to eliminate people from getting involved in trivial or in conspiracies. All Bezin is doing by Masiyan is making the conditions even more difficult for them. So it has the effect of Tiruf, but we're not doing anything over here which predisposes us in a certain type of a direction. So that's what he's saying. Bezdin, what he maintains is that the difference between Masiyan, where all we're doing is we're working within the givens. We have certain functions, and we could do those functions in a manner which makes it more comfortable for them. We could do those functions in a manner where it makes it more uncomfortable for them. That's clearly indirect. We're just making the circumstances more difficult upon them, but we're not doing anything which directly opposes them. That's not opposition. That's making it more difficult. What's wrong? What's wrong with coming right out in the open and basically accusing them? It's an accusation. That's a maisa. Then you're doing a maisa of Tiruf, and he maintains that Bezin cannot do a maisa of Tiruf, because once Bezin does a maisa of Tiruf, they're taking a position. They're defining themselves as being on the defense as opposed to the Edom, and Bezin can't function in the role of being on the side of the defense or being on the side of the prosecution. Bezin has to be neutral. That's what he maintains. That Bezin cannot do a maisa. That's where the violation of Uviarta. Uviarta Rabbi Kevecha means that Bezin has to assume a certain posture. And it's true that they have obligations. And one of the obligations is post-chumlus list. They have the obligations of the tzilu. But all of these things have to be done in a manner which does not place Bezdin in the position of being arguing for one side, as opposed to the other. So now you have Eidos. Eidos is the factor which is going to be responsible for Uviyar Tahara. Without the Eidos, there's not going to be any Uviyar Tahara. So Bezdin, by taking a stance in order to squelch that Eidos, is now violating Uviyar Tahara. So that's what he says. However, again, if you went back to Rabbi Yehuda, he would say that no, because we've already seen that once the objective, if Bezdin is permitted to pursue that objective, then there's no restraint on how they do it. That objective we've seen is kosher, and Bezdin has a right to pursue the objective, so he doesn't really care if you do it this way, you do it that way. But the point of Ula is to say that it's different when you do it indirectly, because that's fine, you have a right to operate with the circumstances in which the Bezdin is going to give, the Edom are going to give their testimony. So you're making it more difficult for them. And it's true that if you ask me why, that's the reason. But I'm not defining myself as being opposed to the Edom. Once I do that, so that's a violation of Uviyar Tahara.